Good morning, saints and sinners, sisters and brothers, children of God. And what have you done in your time here on earth? Will you be remembered for those things when you are gone? Can you take it with you? And so we've read our gospel reading, this famous parable, and where, before we get to the reading, Jesus is here on his journey now, and people are calling after him to mediate in other people's affairs. What has this point that Jesus has gotten to? We're already beginning to witness the kind of Jesus that people are expecting him to be, the kind of Savior. And there's this person in the crowd, you know, the person who feels like he's been slighted, who we assume that it was a man because he's asking for his inheritance. And back in those days, women didn't get inheritances. This man has certain expectations of Jesus. And one of many of those expectations that we find of the crowds that are following is that Jesus be a judge. Like the judges of old were in the time before the kings in the Old Testament. But Jesus has not set himself up to be a judge. At least not while he's a man walking on the earth. But this also leads us to wonder another question. That given Jesus' response to the man, that who am I to judge over you? Would Jesus' companions have been very surprised by this response from him? I don't think so. Not if they'd been walking for him for very long periods of time. Because if we come to know, as we've come to know, material possessions are nothing. Well, sure, they're fine while we're here on earth, and they mean something, and they help us get by from day to day. But remember, Jesus is expecting the people to give up everything and follow after him, leaving nothing to tie us to home and hearth, and the expectation of earning an inheritance from one's deceased forebears is nothing more than an outward symptom of greed, a hope for entitlements to which one's own self is not entitled. But Jesus doesn't stop there on his pronouncements this day. It's not to take, it's not to take on this idea that there is a goal in life of earning material possessions, of storing up goods and things. Now, the parable that Jesus tells is commonly referred to as the parable of the rich fool. And it obviously, Leanna and Cameron have already heard it. I'm sure some of you are also familiar with it. This rich man has some lucky years and is worried what he's going to do with all these things that he's stored up, all this grain that he's carried forward, that he's received from his land. And his idea is to store more of it, that he build more buildings to house more of it, in order that he be able to earn a well-earned retirement, way more than he needs. But in this parable, in the retelling of this parable, Jesus reminds us that the best laid plans of all of us are still subject to the plans of God. And this man's life is to end the very night that he makes this decision to store all of this up. And so this is what is implied, particularly in Jesus' closing statement about those who are not rich toward God, is that the decision to take up this abundance and store it all, being stingy in his own. When we read in the older books, the Hebrew Bible, that God intends for abundance to be shared with everyone. And this man has done nothing for the poor in his area, has done nothing for the poor that surround him. And there are always poor, as Jesus tells us elsewhere. His crops will, in fact, yes, they will be distributed to the needy for a profit as he doles them out whenever he feels it's time to dole them out, because he intends to live on them for his entire old age, however long that may be. It's not going to be very long. God laughs at our plans. And I can't just talk about this reading from Luke without giving a little bit of lip service to our first reading, which comes from Ecclesiastes. Vanities of vanities, it begins. Vanities of vanities, all the work that we do on the earth, all the toil and all the effort that we do inevitably comes to naught. All people inevitably die, and in just a generation or two, we are generally forgotten. Now, of course, you might read this and say, well, this is how it was in the old days when people had memories that passed from generation to generation. Very few people knew how to write. Certainly, they did not have pictures and records and the internet, newspapers. And we have all these things that will keep our names and data hard-coded until, well, basically the end of time, right? So what we do will have some meaning and relevance as we go forward, generation after generation after generation. Well, that might be true. And certainly, there's going to be a permanent record of each and every one of us living today out there in the data world, in the archives of the states, everywhere that you find records. In fact, anybody that's ever tried to get a record removed, or anybody that's had some kind of issues on their credit, those are hard to get rid of. Or anybody that's ever had any sort of criminal infraction, those are hard to get rid of. It takes quite a few years to get a ticket off your driver's license. But I can only wonder who 100 years from today is going to be rummaging through our Facebooks, looking at the innumerable photographs and status updates that we've posted. Will that person say, look, oh, well, Miriam was a really interesting person. Look at her pictures. Or Dennis, he must have been a great musician. Look at him at that piano. Or will they just be collecting data, trying to figure out what sort of people were around a century before who would have put those things that we're putting in history, like the kind of candidates that we're electing, like the kind of ways that the things that we're doing, that the way we're treating the earth, will they be trying to figure out why, as humanity, we were treating each other the ways we were treating each other, the way we treated the earth? Or searching for ways to prevent history from repeating itself once again, as history tends to do, because we tend to forget it. And we do forget history. And I think about all these things, I realize that in less than 40 years, there will be over 9 billion people on earth. And I'm sure that the earth can still sustain 9 billion people. We never thought we'd be able to sustain 7.5 billion. And somehow, we're doing it. But even if I'm still alive at that point, I'm 89 years old, I have a very good chance I'll be around. Will all the things I've written and all the photographs be at the least bit interesting? Or will they have been covered over by all the innumerable people that have come along since me? Will I be covered over in data and data and data? I'm sure many of you here are familiar with the name Andy Warhol. I know I see a few faces lighting up. Andy Warhol once said that in the future, everyone would have 15 minutes of fame. Now, that sounds like, oh great, I'm going to have my 15 minutes one day. But who can even remember the Octomom? Yeah, that's something that conjures up a memory from just a couple years ago. Or what about that kid that the parents thought had flown off in that weather balloon? Remember that? I'm starting to forget that. That was only 4 or 5 years ago. And these are just the kinds of people that are trying to be famous, that make an extra effort to be famous and well-known around the world. And yet, we've had so much that's happened since then. I wonder what the ecclesiastical writer means when he says, sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. Surely we leave a legacy on earth and we leave things for those left behind. But once our bodies are firmly planted in the ground, our control over our names and our legacy vanishes. There's nothing that we can do about it once we're gone. It's out there. Now, I have no children myself, and can hope that my nephews and nieces, and I have quite a few of them, pass stories about their wonderful Uncle Carrie on to their kids. And I hope I'm leaving them with enough wonderful stories to pass on. But I can't stake anything on that happening. What is a legacy? What would it be like for you to live the rest of your life? Now think about this. I want you to imagine, what would it be like for you to live the rest of your life with the thought that no matter what you did, within 20 years after your death, it was no longer going to be relevant. It would be completely forgotten. Would you make up your mind at that moment to go off the rails and seek out pleasure from every quarter, living only for the moment, doing whatever you felt like doing, regardless of the consequence? Would it depress you so much that you would hide away in your room and not able to accomplish a single goal? Or maybe you do truly decide to live in the day, live in the hour, live in the moment, giving your life meaning for that moment and making room for God in our lives. When we live with the idea that our lives' meanings are derived from the things we do, the body of wealth that we store up, the litany of written work that we claim, then we fail to give God credit for giving us meaning. But to live from day to day, from deed to deed, living out the good work that God calls us to live out, without worrying about whether or not human pens will remember that work, gives us the freedom to be the good people that God calls us to be. Not to focus so much on our own will and our own goals and our own ambitions, but on God's will. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong, my sisters and brothers, with having accomplishments in your life. I have a few myself. And I believe that we should be proud of the things that we've done that uplift God. But it is only human to want to be remembered for the good that we do. And to want to pass that on and want people to know about the things that we did. To maybe have a little plaque commemorating us somewhere. Now that's not all that bad. There's nothing wrong with that. But Jesus is reminding us that these things are ephemeral. That these things are momentary. And while we might be able to, in this life, set up the people who live after us to continue to do the good work that we do, whether we've made advancements in engineering, brought people together to come up with new ideas, broadcast a message to entertain and bring joy to people all throughout the earth, in the end, our names are footnotes, biographical mentions, and archival footage. But the work that we do that belongs to God, that we do guided by God's Spirit, that we do while imparted with Jesus Christ's gift of grace to us as human beings and filled to the brim with the Holy Spirit that He gives us. We are given a free will to make decisions, reminded that our individual accomplishments are really just things that we do while we are on this earth. And the good news, my sisters and brothers, is regardless of whether or not we are remembered after on earth, is that in God's kingdom, we will remember each other, sharing the wonders that has been God's creation and praising God's good name. Amen.